Hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney. Before this week's episode, a few friendly reminders. New episodes drop every Thursday afternoon.
Opinions and views expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the Arts Asylum, Mutual Musicians Foundation, or KOJH 104.7.
If you have any questions, concerns, or suggestions, please contact us via email at couchchats@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at couchchats. And don't forget, that's couch with a K. Please also remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Bye.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have our new good friend, Brad Epperly. Hello, Brad.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Corey, Courtney.
Hi, hi. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here, whatever here and this is.
Well, it is the couch. It
That's
is
right.
The Couch Chats. This is episode, what episode are we on?
39.
39,
I think, yeah. Which is crazy to think about that we've almost been doing this for a year.
Yeah. 39 straight weeks.
Yeah.
What did you say about 39?
It's a lucky number.
Oh, I thought you said that was your lucky number.
39 was a designation of my first unit in the military.
Ah.
Before we talk about that, what is your lucky number?
7 or 12.
Can you explain why?
7 is a perfect number in a Judeo-Christian construct. And 12, just because I like 12.
12.
Mm-hmm. I like dozens of things.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
My lucky number is 24.
Twice, yeah.
Because my grandfather taught me that after 24 hours, it doesn't matter anymore. So just move on with your life. And then after he passed away, literally, I see 24s like everywhere I turn. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if one, like, fell
everywhere.
Out of the sky right now.
Right, that's what's actually making that noise.
Yeah, a 24 is knocking on the roof right now.
Which is a multiple of 12.
Uh-huh.
It is uh-huh. by 2.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or by 4 or 6 or, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we had Brad on today because he is sort of the master of arms for our construction and renovation.
That's true.
He came to us about, what, 2 months ago?
About 2 months ago,
and sort of took over what we are calling the Cariv Crew, which is the company that we hire to do all of our renovations and building upgrades.
Yeah.
So how did you get to Cariv, Brad? How did we find you?
How do any of us get anywhere?
Magic.
Alex.
By the way, Alex is doing okay right now.
That's right. 39 weeks later, he's still fine.
Yeah. I responded to an ad on Indeed. Was leaving one season and entering another, and sent out sort of a resume blast, and then Alex called within minutes. Within minutes on a Sunday afternoon of my having submitted
that.
And wanted to talk. And I said, sure, let's set up a time for tomorrow. He said, no, now. I said, sure. So we talked, and the next morning we met early here.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love that Alex was like, no, I don't care about your schedule. What's mine? That's pretty funny. I appreciate
That's
that.
Always his response is
yeah.
Well, no, in his defense, he I think it speaks to his belief that when you see an opportunity, you have to move.
Sure.
Yes.
Lest it disappear.
I definitely think we are standing in part of that brainchild.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people impulse buy gum.
Right.
You guys bought a church.
It's true. And,
right?
now, after last week's episode with Justin, we're looking at buying a boat.
Yeah. Today we talked about maybe purchasing a riverboat and turning that into a floating.
Because we got to get Justin bi-coastal, but, you know, the coast was going to be the Missouri River. That's what we mm-hmm. talked about. And now he can come and do the performances.
Anyway.
I actually know a good guy who just retired from the Missouri Guard full-time.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the Coast Guard Auxiliary and has his captain credentials.
Well.
Then the rivers are part of the Coast Guard? Is
yeah.
that correct?
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they have coasts. That makes sense. But you
some,
don't
some way, shape,
think
form.
Of them as being coasts. Interesting.
I would say shore. Shore coasts.
Sure.
Shore guards.
Uh-huh. Sure, if you will.
So, you answered that call, and within that, how long from that phone call until you started working with us?
Mercy. The phone call Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. ish central. I do caveat when I'm not using the 24-hour clock. And I met with him at 7 a.m. the next morning, and I think I started.
The next day.
Yeah. All of a sudden, Brad was here, and, you know, shit was getting done. And I appreciated it.
Well, true story.
It's happening. So what did you do prior? Tell us a little bit about your background and sort of how you got to that Sunday phone call. What did you do? And I know that you sort of have a company that you work with as well, I believe.
I do. I didn't know that was on the table.
We don't have to talk about it.
My backgrounds as far as my construction bona fides, most of that happened in the military. So I was full-time active duty for a long time with Missouri Army National Guard. And then some federal duty in there, including some deployments overseas. But I was started out as an electrician / tradesman and HVAC guy, and as I progressed in rank, it gave you some additional responsibilities and duty titles and sort of become a supervisor. So, yeah, I got to do a hodgepodge of construction-related projects over the years.
Do you like construction?
I do, very much.
Yeah, I believe once we had a conversation about that, maybe you like to, problem solve. You know, that's one of your things that you really sort of You love to sort of come up with a problem and then the solution.
I do. I think that's what makes, without seeming like too much of a nerd, so.
Be a nerd. We love dorks.
We embrace that here.
It's not just problem solving. It is just bringing order to things. I think we approach becoming our best selves whenever we engage in bringing order. Is I think the universe is ordered in such a way that disorder is sort of the default state. It's like second law of thermodynamics, right? That's sort of my thing.
Oh,
so,
you're such a dork. I love it. it's so fun.
Second law of thermodynamics would state something like, which is super cliff notes, is that total entropy in a closed system can never decrease over time. Isolated system, which is a little bit different in physics. So I don't believe you can ever have a truly isolated system, just like you can't have perfect vacuum. But anyway, so think of it as the universe trends from order to disorder. And I think what we do when we build and we construct, whether it's a building or a relationship or anything, we're bringing order. We're helping restore order. And I think it's not godlike, but I do think that we're created in the image of a creator, and so we sort of approach a thing, a
good
thing.
Is there ever been a thing that you have not solved?
Plenty. And as I get older, I realize there are many things that I think that I've solved, I haven't.
Do you go back and do you let the problems that you haven't solved just sort of stay there unsolved, or do you sort of hold that in the bank for an infinite amount of time to say, hey, I'll get back to trying to solve that?
If it's something that doesn't figure into the emotional logistics of my life, I can just let it sit there. And if it's something that involves an emotional component, like a significant emotional component, because everything involves emotion, then sometimes we have to find a safe place for that to sit if it's unsolved. And so my previous life, I spent some years in behavioral health when I left left active duty. And so sort of spent some time interacting and dealing with people who had some unsolved incomplete things.
Do you have any interest in pursuing that part of your life more, going back and helping people? Because I do believe that you are a conversationalist, and you do love to sort of solve things and talk about your experiences when you're maybe not on the couch. And sort of, I feel like Courtney and I have had conversations after we've left speaking with you about just sort of what you're mission or purpose was sort of before you came to us, and I definitely think that you had some love toward that, so I just didn't know if you were using your powers for good stuff.
I think I spent so many years just wasting time and powers is as good a word as any. You know, using my powers for ungood. Can I say? I don't want to say evil.
You can say evil.
Yeah.
There's evil out there.
Yeah, there is. So, I want to spend time and years building. I wasted too much time, which is one of the reasons that other entity that my wife and I at this point have, we sort of did to bring good in order to encourage conversations about positive things. So,
yeah. And you are married and you have a daughter, correct?
I do.
Yeah. Yes. I have met both. I have not met your wife, but I have met your daughter, and yes, she was a lovely creature.
Did you get to do that? I didn't get to do that.
The Sunday that pipe or the water heater exploded.
Oh, sure.
And
sure,
I was here for rehearsal for the full Monty. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My wife's name is Gina, and we met 7 years ago yesterday.
Mm-hmm. We did. Do you celebrate that anniversary when you met?
She reminded me yesterday that was the 7th year. So no, we celebrated in a small way. Uh-huh.
Yay. I have, Matt, my husband and I have like, at this point, like 7 anniversaries, and it's very confusing.
Yeah.
Because
you're gonna get another one, right? Isn't that the plan?
Well, yeah, eventually, after we get our so I'll talk through that, you know, whatever. So we always try and celebrate whenever we met each other, which was in May.
Yeah.
And then we always, like, New Year's Eve is always some sort of strange anniversary because that is when we moved in together. And there's, like, that sort of idea of, you know, new year, new birth, blah, blah, bullshit. But it works, you know, so we always sort of designate that. Then we also always talk about whenever I proposed to him, which was the day after my 30th birthday, because that's definitely funny. But then our anniversary, we got married on February 29th, which is an imaginary day, so we only get that every 4 years. So then we have to talk about, do we celebrate... We don't want to celebrate February 28th as our wedding anniversary, because that's not really a full, complete year, but March 1st is... kind of wonky.
You could do March 5th when you had your party.
So then we also have March 5th when we had our reception as well. So there's a lot of dates. Pretty much I'm just always down for a party.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned.
I mean, I guess...
But after we get our first anniversary, which will be in February of 2020, then we have talked about renewing our vows in some way so we can have a normal...
Some crazy person was like, you should get married on leap day.
I think March is a powerful month.
It's really good.
It is not my favorite holiday. My favorite holiday is Thanksgiving, but it has my second one, which is St. Patrick's Day, because I always feel like that is when you finally, like, come out of hibernation. Like, people are starting to come out of their house. People are like, ooh, I can maybe wear a light sweater today.
Yeah.
It's not so cold. And so I was kind of...
You should have never listened to that crazy person that thought you should get married on leap day. What was she thinking?
But it was a perfect...
That was you, wasn't it?
It was me.
It was you.
But it was a perfect day. It was like 70 degrees in front of the Nelson in February.
It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was perfect.
We had a March wedding. So March 20th? Yes. 20
so, you, how long have you been married? I know how long you've known each other.
You can't ask me that.
I can.
Yes, dear
Matt. Well, in my defense, we're not.
You just talked about thermodynamics, and you can't.
6 years this March 20th.
So you were together for about a year or so before you decided to get married.
Yes.
Yeah.
We met in January of 2012.
Did you propose to her?
I did.
Cool.
I did.
I like marriage. I love love. I'm down
and
for
you,
that.
Well, because it was the day after your birthday as well, because I have no idea the day that Alex proposed to me. I have no idea what day that was.
Well, it's very significant. I turned 30.
Right, I know.
On that.
And you had a lot of things happening on that day.
Yeah. I mean, it. You know, and then I flew to Paris. Uh-huh. So, and I did, over my years, I just literally stuttered. I have flown on September 11th almost like, it feels like every other year since about like, September 11th.
Honeymoon in Paris?
We will be doing... Next year,
we
will be going to Europe for about 15 days to sort of celebrate our actual
first anniversary.
I've only been to Paris once. When you were a wee guy.
A wee one? How old are you, Brad?
I am 42-ish. 42-ish. I was last in Paris in 1995, June.
So you haven't seen the monstrosity that they put on the Eiffel Tower where they turned it into a glitter bomb.
I haven't.
Because it is fascinating for like the first 5 seconds, and then you're like, that is tacky as shit by the end of it.
My daughter, Magnolia, she really wants to go to the Eiffel Tower because I told her our story surrounding it. My best friend and I, we bought berets at the base of the Eiffel Tower, and then we ran up it. Mm-hmm. The stairs. Didn't take the elevator. We took the stairs.
And did not run up it.
So, and you can't... The top third has no stairs, so you have to take the elevator to the top. So she wants to run up the Eiffel Tower.
I think she absolutely should.
I think we should.
Is that just her nickname, or is her full name Magnolia?
Magnolia.
That's amazing.
Isn't that... And she was super sweet.
I've always heard you call her Maggie, so I just...
Yeah, Maggie. She prefers Magnolia. Mm-hmm. Well, she adds a syllable, Maggie-nolia.
Of course. Yeah.
I walked up all
this... any four-year-old should.
Yeah.
I walked up all the stairs, I think, to the Arc de Triomphe, because they don't have an elevator. It's the spiral staircase, I think, that takes you up that one. And that, after a few glasses of wine, was a really funny idea. Because you're halfway up and you're like, I gotta keep going.
Yes. I didn't go up the Arc de Triomphe.
The
Champs-Élysées is awesome.
Stunning.
So, yeah.
But my favorite place was Notre Dame. Because I heard the bells ring literally at noon of Notre Dame. And I was just like weeping. I had just gotten off of a flight. We hadn't done it. You know, we were just like aimlessly wandering around. I'm smoking like a cigarette because like I think that's what Parisians do, eating the baguette. And like drinking this coffee that I thought was going to give me a heart attack. And sure. I was just in paradise. I couldn't believe it. I like the bells of Notre Dame. Like that's a... Mm-hmm. That's my jam, yo.
Yes.
So, I look forward to taking Matt to Europe, and that's where we will celebrate very soon.
So, you're 3 years now, and you'll be four?
Mm-hmm. I'll be three at about 2 a.m. on March 1st.
Yeah. that's the decision. Maybe it could be like you celebrate only at 12:01 between the two or something.
It's
midnight
weird.
At the
We've also made the joke, this is a little TMI and dork in the house, that we will set 1 o'clock like a minute later. So there is that sort
little
of
thing.
That middle mm-hmm. moment where 1 o'clock is saying March 1st and 1 o'clock is saying February 28th still.
Mm-hmm. What if you went to Greenwich, England for your 4 year/1 year and you celebrated... So you could celebrate your anniversary twice by stepping over the
primary
line. Sure.
Well, you should be like a wedding honeymoon coordinator for people who get those on.
My wife. Yes.
Well,
she has the magic.
What's
the Hallmark magic?
I love magic. Speaking of magic, what is your superpower?
My superpower. Mercy.
Mercy is your superpower.
Yes. Probably that.
Yeah.
Actually, and no, that's not even tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've been shown much mercy and grace in my life, and I think that it just in my DNA, I have the ability, just the God-given gift to be able to forgive and show mercy and grace. And of course, that comes double-edged sword. Because you will be taken advantage of in life.
Mm-hmm. But as the due host of Couch Chat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would much rather fall on that side of the mercy and grace side of the equation than not.
Yeah, I feel I'm strong enough to be taken advantage of sometimes.
Yeah, I just for all my life experiences and stuff, I have come through it without a hard heart, and I consider that a gift, priceless gift.
Yeah. Do you think people have that perception of you? Do you think people know that's who you are on first appearance?
no, if I don't smile, my wife tells me I look a little bit like a Russian gangster.
Oh.
If I don't smile.
God, imagine what it would be if you had black boots on.
He wears brown boots.
I still don't wear them very often. There's a story there.
Do you want to tell that story?
Oh, they're black boots are the boots of villains, right?
Yes, I had a pair of boots that I wore, cowboy boots, for 12 years, just pretty much consistently everywhere all the time, and they failed. I still wear them, grasping, but so the time came to go purchase a new pair of boots, and I took my wife and daughter, and I tried on a bunch of boots, and she says, "Well, why don't you try on a pair of black boots?" And I was just like, I had to unwrap why I didn't want to try on black boots, and I realized it's because bad guys wear black boots.
Yeah.
They do.
Are your combat boots black?
They are not. When I first joined the military, combat boots were black.
Mm-hmm.
They were sand colored, mm-hmm. and now I believe there's some sort of
like a green color.
They're coyote brownish.
Okay.
I think the term is TAN-0599 or something.
I think it's something. I think along it's TAN-0599.
There's a alphanumeric some sort of designation with the government.
But. Yeah.
You're such an interesting person, Brad. For real. This is sort of like an on-the-spot question, so feel free to like do that. What was your perception of the Arts Asylum whenever you first came here?
Oh.
And don't worry if you're like, it looked like a shit show. No.
No, it was. It was. It. It recalling 2 months ago.
I promise we won't be offended.
No, not at all. Honestly, my first thought when I saw the exterior was I immediately thought that I wanted to power wash the exterior.
Sure.
I mean, really, that's, and I know that's a step because you can't start that and not finish it.
Yeah.
And it will be more than you probably sandblasted. But anyway, I just saw opportunity because I knew what I was there for. I was going to meet Alex here. Mm-hmm. To do an interview, to talk about being the renovation guy and sort of heading up that part of the journey here. And so I knew right away, I was just looking, I was like, okay, this, you know, I would fix this, that, you know, why did they do that way? I've seen a lot of that, and that, mm-hmm. that predates mm-hmm. your occupation of this property.
So we have a lot of those questions.
I think I just delivered a long non-answer.
You
but
did.
That's okay.
But I'll accept part of it. Do you feel, my husband and I talks about what the purpose of the sort of this building has always been. And Brad and I at one point sort of had a conversation about just the idea that people have been coming here for years. You know, mm-hmm. it was a church, like people, there's just been masses of people who have somehow found their way to Ninth and Harrison. So there is a power.
There's a spiritual significance to this building.
Yeah.
It
draws people here, and I say it draws all the weirdos here, and that's what I love. You know, it's a safe place for all the weirdos.
Was it 1888 when it was built?
1889.
1889. So we're working on 14 decades that human expression has happened here, and like emotional expression. First to, you know, as a church, deity, and then wasn't it a refugee place?
It was a Vietnamese refugee house for a while. That was still, it was always, until our purchase, it had always been Baptist in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
A Baptist house in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And actually, we purchased it from
the Baptist.
Yeah. The Covenant, you can rattle it off. Midwest Baptist Theological Seminary,
5001 North Oak Traffic Way.
That's been a short 64011. As a seminary student there.
Yeah.
I
always like to remind our listeners, the fives and tens, all five and ten of them, that the purpose of Couch Chats was actually to get to know a little bit about the people that Courtney and I feel like we already know. So that statement is a perfect statement.
That's right.
So I had some loose association with them for a bit.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. But it's just this, the stuff that's happened here, to return to topic.
Oh, this is a tangent show. Yeah.
It's just a significant thing, you know, churches, different iterations, and then a refugee shelter. Then that brings its own load of stuff. You know, and then what you guys are doing here, which you're figuring out as you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, people always believe that the Arts Asylum was named for the kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know, artists are crazy people and they need to, you know, be put in an asylum. But in fact, that was a factor of it, and I thought it was funny. It was the notion that churches and places of worship and a building of this sort was always a place to seek asylum, to seek safety. Which
and
is what we're trying to provide for
our
safe
place to create.
That's important in this world.
And to toot our own horns, because I don't like to do that very often, but that idea has been something that has really sort of kept us and catapulted us through all of these years, is to make sure that we are constantly providing a place that people can come and
the fight against the never ending entropy. You're building something. You're serving as a light in the darkness. You're being a place of order and refuge. Since for gazillions of years, when humans, when they want to do good things, they
Or the asylum brought you here as well, and that's what I like to talk about. You know, is that you, like, I go down to our, because I think we get to move into our office today.
Today.
Yes. So we, fingers crossed, as Brad says. And I always just sort of, like, have that conversation, and I go down to that office, and I think all of those Carib people, I'm just, you know, and they're just like, they're working, and I'm like, but you are building our dream.
Right.
Like, so you are, you have also, for a lack of a better phrase, been called here too, to, mm-hmm. to do what you are supposed to do and what we, what the asylum needs. I do believe that the asylum is a living, breathing entity. That,
yes.
That brings its people and its creators to
it. Yeah. And it's, my word would be providence. Cause that's my, cause I'm a, an ordered creator God person. But yeah, absolutely. I believe in providence, and I don't believe that anything in life happens through complete random chance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
and we've had that sort of conversation, you know, privately amongst all of us too. You know?
Yeah.
I do also love that the asylum. I love. Evidently, I'm in love with the asylum today. you know that that brings people who are people of faith and people who are not people of faith, and they still find their common denominators here, and that those things never get in the way. It's really like the story and the message from each individual person.
Well, I think at the end of the day, too, that you know, though I would not consider myself faith based. I don't think that there's anything different about what you believe versus what I believe.
Right.
It just comes from a different, it's there. You're the name at the top is a different name or not even a name or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I feel like we've had a lot of those conversations.
God,
for that reason.
God can mean anything from a white man with long hair in a robe, you know,
right.
to like, just like what it is,
mm-hmm.
like just what, you know, the descriptor word signifies,
yes.
I believe the same. I think we're all sort of
mm-hmm.
talking about the same thing. It's just really how you personify that in
mm-hmm.
some way.
Yeah. No, and that's it, my brand of God understanding. I mean, is all about how God became personification.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the Anthropos, the
mm-hmm.
God man, Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So that is God literally personified. And so I think, because we have to, you have to make that concept, a creator concept, approachable or it's useless.
Right?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and think about it, most of the time when people have fought against the darkness, you know, when they oh man, what's the that poem, just is it Dylan Thomas?
I don't know.
Which poem?
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage,
yes.
rage against the dying
mm-hmm.
light.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go gentle into that good night. I don't think that's a poem about death. For me, it is, I think, proximately to his writing, but I think it's a just we do. I think you absolutely have to rage against the work against the darkness, and when needed, rage against
mm-hmm.
the darkness. And it's most useful when we have an approachable, personal idea of creator, and those things. You know, when people have done good, like even in the Dark Ages, I'm not even going to go there. But we carry civilization through dark periods with ideas of an approachable Godhead.
Sure.
So
it also known as hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like just coming out of the dark. I believe Gloria Estevan sang that for us back in the day. Coming out of the dark. So sort of going into part of the question section of this, if I may ask.
Oh,
you
we haven't
question.
Gotten there yet.
We
no.
the actor studio questions.
That's right.
If you will, if you were granted 3 wishes, what would they be?
Do I have to answer honestly?
No.
Oh.
Well, yes, I would prefer honesty, but
it's your narrative.
It doesn't have to be like grand scheme of things.
Yeah, you don't have
it can
to
be super
like,
selfish. But they should be things you want.
They are your 3 wishes.
Mm.
It always stumps them. I love
it. Does. It. Although you're the first person that's been stumped on the first wish. Most people get stumped by the third.
No, I'm not stumped on the first wish. I just don't know whether I would speak it and how I would speak it.
Cool.
Because it comes from a place of pain. So,
that's fair.
But I immediately knew. So it would be, for me personally, it would be a restoration of relationship, certain relationships.
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
And that's as far as you're going to get me to go on that.
We have been sort of going through parts of that right now, not to sort of tangent in that.
Yeah.
We Around November, we lost a good friend of our theater community, Chris Holbrook, and whenever we went to that funeral, we talked about that idea that out of that sort of tragedy in that moment, it was bringing together back a lot of different worlds and people and stories and pain and love and all of that. And just then we had another sort of memorial concert for him this past Sunday. And so there was a particular person who I have literally been trying to reconnect with for, we'll call it 10 years. And that night walked up to me and gave me a hug for the first time in 10 years. And so I was just like, okay, I will accept that healing for that moment. Yeah. You know, even if it was just a, I see you, now we can move on. Yes. It at least was not like, I fucking hate you from the other side of the room.
Right. No, and that's, for me, there are, you know, three of the five most important people to me in the world, I'm separated from a broken relationship, and I would restore that if I could. And that comes from my, that, you know, when we speak of, you know, pain or trauma, whatever, that comes from a point of my deepest personal pain. And something that I had to heal from, and I very rarely talk about it, but I would heal that. That would be my first wish to heal that, to restore. And then more broadly, moving quickly from number one to number two.
So we don't have to spend too much time talking.
Pain.
Yeah.
I would see, you spoke hope a while ago, and I hate saying hope for world peace. You know, but
you can hope for it.
But so, you know, understanding that peace is not the absence of conflict, it's the presence of justice, right? So unfortunately we settle for peace in this world because sometimes we have leaders who
stop.
Anyway.
To quote Rent, the opposite of war isn't peace, it's creation.
Yes, yes. So I would deeply desire creative peace in the world, meaning the creation of justice, just systems, just places. I abhor war. And then most broadly, really, I would desire that everyone could know and understand. I mean, this one's, it's hard to put it in words.
The couch is speaking to Brad today.
That's true. No, if I'm just being honest, and
that's
sometimes
what we're here for.
I don't pull punches, but I believe that we all have a need for restoration to God, and there's mechanisms for that. But I would speak hope and restoration, because I believe that God restores and redeems, and that we are best selves when we. And I believe we're created in His image, and so that we are most and best when we join in those restorative activities. So I would love for everybody to at least consider my most deeply held version of the truth and the way to do that, and that would be to at least consider the person of Jesus. And so that's me. That's a very intense, that's my intense personal thing. So they would at least look at that and consider that narrative, because I think that is, it is the way. It's certainly the way for me. So
thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Everyone's answers are always so amazing.
Yes.
Like, I feel like we really get to sort of know our guests.
But that's
sometimes.
But that's truly how I came through the deepest, you know, personal darkness and pain and trauma. Was you know, one through, you know, the human person that was the hands and feet of grace and unconditional love to me was my wife when I met her at Funky Town.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Funky Town.
And, you know, and she when she met me when I was a mess, and she kind of held on. Mm-hmm. And love me where I was, but love me too much to keep me, you know, to let me stay there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I found my partner, too, in probably one of my darkest times in my life.
Yeah.
Too, so.
No, and that's, you know, one of the reasons we've done and do the things we do. You spoke that we, you know, we try to be the good in the world, try to be, you know, I do hope, right? Let's be hope dealers. We actually consider
it's
that...
It's an easy drug to sell.
We actually consider that for a t-shirt.
Yeah.
We have a t-shirt business that I don't even think we've launched yet.
You haven't. But, you've already got excitement about it.
It is.
By
it
some
is.
Facebook image, right? Or something?
Well, it is. It's... Well, the website's live. I don't know enough about search engine optimization and marketing to blast it into the world. But, I mean, Generation His exists. We haven't figured out how and when to fully birth that.
Well, it's not time yet.
So, it's not time yet.
It's not time yet.
So, yeah. But hope... I think we should be hope dealers.
I'll sell hope.
Yeah.
Hope is easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now for maybe a more frivolous question.
Yeah.
Let's see. The most favorite, the famous question. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
A new, like a...
Your own color creation, but obviously you don't have to create your own color. Like, the colors are already dictated for us. But maybe they don't, maybe they don't exist in a crayon box, but that doesn't mean they don't exist in nature. You know, go with it what you will.
I'm a new addition to the crayon box.
Mm-hmm.
We are putting together a crayon box of all of our guests.
That's right.
And what would your color be and why?
Well, my favorite colors, this is not my answer, but my favorite colors are in the bluish purplish spectrum.
The blurple, if you will.
The blurple.
Blurple. Mm-hmm. Probably not the blurple that is now the color of the collab.
I believe, what is that? Slutty purple? What is the title of that color?
Slutty purple, yes. No. That is, what was it called? Something pansy.
Wild pansy?
Wild pansy.
Wild pansy. Wild. Right, slutty purple.
Slutty purple. It's totally the same thing.
Slurple.
Slurple.
Slurple. Putty? No, that doesn't work. No, that'd be a different color.
That would be a different color.
Green, maybe green. So, if I had to imagine, that's the color you can't. There was a kid on the bus. I was probably 8, 9, 10. I don't remember, but I remember this kid who I didn't like in elementary school. We were all answering the question, "What's your favorite color?" on the bus, and this was not a kid I liked. Again, did I mention I didn't like him? But he. And somebody asked me what's green, and he said green, and I'm like, why? He said, well, because I can't imagine a picture without it. And that response from so many years ago has always stuck with me. I was like, that's a great answer.
That's a great answer.
Great answer.
I can't picture something without it.
And so my question was, what color can you not imagine not being in the world? If you had to pick a color that just has to be in the world, if you lived in a monochromatic world, this is sort of the same question, but not. If you lived in a monochromatic world, what's the one color you would not dispense with?
Well, I can't get rid of blue, matter what. I can't help it.
But green.
Green is what makes it. Well, I mean, that's what sets Earth. I mean, our particular version of photosynthesis and our distance from the sun. And,
well, that's your brain.
It is.
That's your brain.
And our
I'm looking at is the ocean, and there is no grass around me.
You're right.
Right.
Yes.
So it's really browns and blues.
And it is. It is the blue. You're right. It is the blue that makes us. It makes Earth.
The blue planet.
Tantalizing and delectable from space. It is called the blue planet. Is that National Geographic called?
Yeah.
That's their thing. No, it is the blue planet. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just being silly.
Did you know that the Earth is? Am I going to say this right? The moon and the sun appear to be the same size, but the sun is obviously much more massive. Well, the moon, I think, is 1/6 the size of the sun. Its sun is 6 times further than the moon,
away, yeah.
So it makes them appear. Yeah. Anyway,
but it shows you the magnitude.
Yeah.
Of how big that sun is to look.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that same size from our perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But isn't that like the light year time travel sort of thing?
Sure.
Too, that the things that are taking place.
Yeah.
On
we'll
Earth.
Sean Hope on for that, but yeah.
Yeah. Like, you might see dinosaurs roaming the Earth because of time, how far away it would take for the image to travel.
Yeah.
To the sun or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So green is your world.
I probably would be green.
It is humorous to me that you are sitting on a green couch as you say that.
That's kind to call this green.
What color would you call that?
It's green,
No, I was like, hold on. What color would you call it?
To be sure, it's limish.
Okay, I'd go more Kelly, but I got you. Or grass green, perhaps?
No.
Well, it's not the color of grass, but I feel like when people identify grass green, it's closer to that color than it is the color of grass.
Maybe the green of grass after it's been sitting under a pile of leaves for 2 weeks that you raked up and didn't bag.
Did the fives and tens listeners like follow that? What are you picturing right now?
Please, when we post this picture on Thursday, I'm going to need you to send us Pantones of what color you picture the couch. Ironically, that all guests sat on, but we never take a photograph of.
Never. Not once.
And I think that couch has only been photographed in black and white.
Probably.
I mean, not only because, you know, it was in our lobby for a while, so I'm sure people have a picture of the couch. Most people know when we say the green couch at the Arts Asylum.
This is two deep breaths shy of garish.
Okay, that's fair.
Garish. So what is something you were told you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or are in the process of accomplishing?
I could never do or do well?
What is something you were told you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or are currently in the process of accomplishing?
Probably be a good father. And we will leave that naysayer unnamed.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's a powerful untruth to speak into someone's well. It's not an untruth for everyone. Right. To be fair, there's some...
They might think that they are the best father.
Yeah, true.
Who's the judge of that?
Right. But I had an extraordinary dad to serve as an example. I've encountered some pretty seemingly unkind, evil people in the world that tried to speak. Take my life away, spit out. Mm-hmm. But I've tried to be careful. But that's a good lesson. I've tried to be careful about who I consistently surround myself with. You need people who speak life and hope, right? Not an empty word. I love
hope.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's do something with that.
My dad told me not to surround myself with people that will essentially take my light. He was like, yes. Everyone wants it. Be very aware of whenever you have a picture up or your legacy is at the end to make sure that you agree with, you know, the group that you keep around you, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of people out there, you know. And a lot of them are selfish, so...
Mm-hmm. Most. I think left to our own devices, we're all selfish, I think.
I believe that there's probably a selfishness that has to just go with existing.
Yes. Well, I think we're born that way. People have fundamental... Well, I just believe that we're not born good. I just think we're human beings are basically ungood, bad, and that we learn to be good.
I actually somewhat agree with that.
Really?
Even as an optimist.
Yeah.
I'm
an optimist too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not.
I believe that more often humans are that guilt comes from like getting caught.
Yeah.
You know,
I do believe that, yeah.
So I believe that people would do bad if there was not a repercussion for the evil. So they often sometimes will be good just to like show that they're not evil. That they spend more time trying to prove that they themselves are actually good people, but you don't really ever hear someone try to prove to someone that they're a bad person.
That's true.
No, and I tend to inhabit that space. I mean, we all have our moments, but I think we learn through socialization to be the best, you know, unselfish. You know, you watch a group of toddlers run around, and you wouldn't say that they're evil little beings. But they're fundamentally selfish, self-interested. Maybe self-interested.
That's my ball, you know.
Yeah.
That's
right, but it is their ball, right? I am a terrible example. I do not require my children to share. So
you are a permissive parent.
No, I just if my all right, Violet's on a playground. She has a ball. Some kid she doesn't know comes up, and I force her to share her ball. I feel as though that is a strange conditioning because I'm sitting at my desk and a stranger comes up and says, give me your sandwich. I don't have to share that with them. So I feel as though, and now I will say that part of that is my hyper awareness of teaching my girls specifically their boundaries they are in charge of their own lives and their choices and their bodies and all of that stuff. So I may take it to an extreme, but I make them share with each other. but I don't necessarily make them share with the world. Now, Isabel has chosen to share everything she has with the world because she is some, I don't, amazing human being that I don't know if I wish to take credit for because I'm not sure if I did it.
I'll take credit for her.
She, yes, that's probably more accurate.
No, and I think when I say people are born basic, I think you all have different predispositions for, you know, for more for good, for bad. But for kids, I love what you're saying. You have to teach them, maybe it's overboard, to teach them that sort of stringent boundary keeping and shepherding. But today, if you tell them that they can't say no to the sharing of the ball, then you can't say no. What, today it's a ball, tomorrow it's no to, I can't say no to the sharing of my time. Then what about my hand, my heart, my body, my life?
So it's tricky. Kids are often selfish little beings, though, for sure. But I don't know if that's so much about innately being bad as it is their inability to care for themselves. I mean, you know, that it's you have to teach me everything right this moment in the next 5 years because I don't. I physically can't tell you what's wrong with me. You have to figure it out, and that's going to be by me screaming until
This might have to be like an own conversation. In another time, because like my brain is like, I have so many like questions and like tangent points about
Well, and
that.
Our species is pretty unique. Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens, us. I mean, our young are born completely unable to care for themselves. And all primates, you know, are pretty unique in having zero. Anyway.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, there's a whole. We could do an entire episode just on that.
Because we did an entire episode about I don't care and like saying and like what that means. So we might need to do a whole episode about, you know, my body, my choice, essentially.
Sure. But I mean, I think it's also just. You know, I remember having a conversation with Alex once because, you know, you have kids and people who do that realize that, like, their preference would be 75% of the time to just be butt naked running around at all times. And Alex is like, when does modesty set in? And I was like, well, when we teach it. And so I feel as though a portion of that statement that people are born innately ungood versus bad, or however you want to word it, could also be that society dictates what is good and what isn't bad, what's good and what's bad.
That's what
and
I mean.
So are they actually born bad, or are we as a society dictating what is bad versus good?
No, and
you know what I mean?
Wow, this is its own.
That's what I'm saying. Because we might have to like have that conversation. Yeah.
Well, think about the Garden of Eden narrative, you know, the Adam and Eve construct. What was their first action after having eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? It was to cover themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a whole.
But it was somebody's idea to cover themselves.
Somebody's idea.
And that's the, you know what I mean?
Or Moses. When
yeah, wrote, exactly. Yeah, you know. So
I like that meme or whatever that talks about what if Adam and Eve are just like the last two species from an alien planet and they came here and they landed. And that's why there's no pre them, they just plopped here, and that God is like the mothership spaceship that brought them down here and then dropped them off and said, look, a brand new planet.
Right. Well,
let's destroy this one too.
Something's got to account for the fact that the planet obviously has existed for millennia, for eons and epochs of time, but recorded human history is 6,000-ish, right? There are those who are, well, like me, you know, okay, Christian types, right? They would say the Earth is 6,000 years old. Man, you're wrong. It's science. Horrible. But we have 6,000. That's just dumb, right?
Right.
We have 6,000 years of recorded history-ish, and then...
But there's bones that are...
But, yeah, there's bones that can't be accounted for in the human record.
Yeah.
There's a highly ordered... Somehow, humankind ended up here ordered, put together. The carbon was arranged just so, you know, so that we have consciousness. That's the one thing that our current understanding of macro evolution cannot answer is human consciousness.
Well, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
The rooster came first.
So,
about a dirty joke. There it is,
there
kids.
There we go. That's right.
There it is, kids. Well, that was sort of this week's sort of couch chats. Wasn't that a quick episode?
Mm-hmm.
And a question that I will ask you, because you are neither a listener nor part of our normal sort of world, who would you, Brad, like to hear from on the couch?
Oh, Mercy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See,
Mercy, I don't know if I can get her on.
Shoot, golly. Did you guys don't inhabit? I've only recently started sort of inhabiting this world. I don't know.
Well, but it's someone that you
would
want to hear from.
Yeah, that you'd want to hear from.
That you are like, you know, I would really love to get to know a little bit more about that person. And then in by proxy, we will get to know more about that person or get to know that person to begin.
Mm-hmm.
So think about who we should invite on from your brain world.
And most importantly, go back to work so that we have somewhere to put couch chats.
Yes,
because
yes,
right now we don't know where it's going.
I don't know where any of this is going.
I need to go bring a little order to the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
No one immediately comes to mind.
Have you encountered anyone here? Let's see.
Is this pie in the sky, or you're looking for ideas somewhere down
the road? Oh, we have a list. I just like to make sure that I'm fulfilling my guests, what would bring my guests back to listen to the podcast. That might have to be the title.
Culture.
And a nameless person.
Sometimes that's the subject for entire messages.
Mm-hmm.
I find
that so interesting that you don't know who you would like to get to know better.
Oh, just that would be just somebody that I would like to get to know
in
better.
Theory to see if I can get them onto the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I would love to see this is not self-serving. It sounds self-serving. Maybe the fact that I have to say that twice probably means it isn't.
Seems pretty self-serving.
Yeah, I would love to hear my wife, not watch, but hear my wife here because she is truly the most beautiful, gracious, kind human being I've ever known. But sometimes maybe struggles to believe the good things about herself. And so I would love, because you guys have a way of drawing things out of people. And letting them see, right?
It's the couch. It's
no,
the sound.
Yeah.
It's the green.
Your wife?
Yeah, I would.
Well, Brad's wife.
Yeah, that's right.
We may be coming for you.
Gina, we're coming for you.
Gina Marie.
I always forget that we've already said her name, because I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to say
supposed
his wife's
say
name.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, then Gina, we will maybe be coming for you.
That's right.
She's going to shoot. And I don't even know where to find the podcast.
I'll
show you on your phone. Yeah,
yeah,
iTunes,
Couch Chats with a K.
While you're here, you could listen on KOJH if you'd like. That's the radio station that is out of our bell tower. So you can pick up there.
That's
on Thursdays at
1 p.m. So, yeah, thank you so much, Brad, for being on the show this week.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It was a really
kind
of fun time. I'm very glad that you took the leap into the pool and sort of joined us today.
Mm-hmm,
it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure, as we mentioned briefly, where the next location will be. So next week we could be doing office chats as opposed to couch chats.
Yeah.
But then the next week, someone promised me that we'd have a space by the next week.
And soon
that was me.
We'll need to have on maybe someone to talk about the Full Monty coming
it's
on.
True. We should, someone. Who would we like to have on?
Well, I might be having a Mitch Simmons or a Kevin Bogan on very
that's
soon,
fun.
So we can talk about this show that we're going to open. And
maybe we could do couch chats recorded from your rehearsal. We could have on all kinds of people next week.
Well, hot dog. Well, hot dog.
And then we can just like, and you know, we'll do a little, hey, girl, what's happening?
Come see a show that maybe people do strip in, but it is not about penises.
Not about that. Not about that. Mm-hmm. No.
It's a woman's world.
I appreciate that.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Thank you again. And tune in next week where we will be somewhere talking
somewhere
to someone.
Somewhere talking about something with someone.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to see who we've got on the couch. New episodes are available in the KC area on KOJH 104.7 Thursdays at 2 p.m. or on iTunes. Bye!